This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, March 5th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, a look at a small Champagne record label, which is now a Grammy winner. We'll get a look at our forecast for the week ahead with meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, a look at AM 580 News. Governor Rob Blagojevich offers his budget address to the Illinois General Assembly this week, and it will include a plan to guarantee health insurance coverage for nearly all Illinoisans. Over the weekend, the governor outlined his Illinois Covered plan. It's a complex plan that would ensure that people making up to four times the poverty rate could get private insurance coverage, sign up for government health care programs, or buy insurance through a new program that all insurers would be required to join. The governor's office says the plan would cost about $2 billion a year and could be in full swing by 2010. Meanwhile, the Blagojevich administration is considering a call to create a new tax on businesses that could end up being the single biggest tax increase in Illinois history. A gross receipts tax on business transactions could be coupled with a move to end the state's corporate income tax. It would generate billions of dollars without taking money directly from voters' wallets the way income or sales taxes do. Business groups are already gearing up to fight the idea. The Blagojevich administration won't confirm the tax proposal, but aides do say the current tax system is unfair because many businesses wind up paying no income taxes. The potential launching of a global campus initiative for the University of Illinois means that anybody should have the technology available to enroll. The plan would place a number of university classes online. A recent summit headed by Senator Dick Durbin looked at the need to expand wireless internet services in rural areas. It would benefit not only education, but hospitals and businesses. Chet Gardner served on the summit's education panel and is a special assistant to U of I President Joseph White for the Global Campus Partnership. He draws an analogy between rural towns who are starting up their own broadband service and those providing electricity 100 years ago.
In many cases, communities themselves had to take the initiative to actually build power plants and distribution systems to serve them because the major providers were not willing to do so. What was interesting at the broadband summit, there were also examples from small rural communities who have done just the same thing with internet access.
Gardner says the U of I is doing its part. The university recently bought fiber optic cables that will connect all three campuses through internet backbones operating in Chicago. A bill sponsored by Senator Durbin would provide federal funds to encourage forming partnerships that provide internet access. Senator Durbin, meanwhile, is giving some rare praise to the Bush administration. Ahmad Omar has more.
Last week, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice announced a sudden switch in foreign policy. U.S. officials will talk with diplomats from Iran and Syria to discuss the future of Iraq. That announcement surprised U.S. Senator Dick Durbin.
Now, this is a breakthrough because just a few weeks ago, in direct conversations with the President and Secretary of State, they told me they weren't in favor of these talks. Now they've changed their mind. I think they've made a good decision. Bringing together the Iranian-Syrian leaders with other leaders in the region could lead to some stability, and that's what we need.
Durbin has been calling on the administration to talk with the two countries for months. The bipartisan Iraq study group also recommended negotiations with Iran and Syria. I'm Ahmad Omar.
The governor recently signed legislation that requires that any new state vehicles purchased to have the ability to run on alternative fuels. A lawmaker behind that measure says the same should apply for local governments. Krista Kukowski has that story.
The plan would make local governments buy vehicles that could run on alternative fuels such as corn-based ethanol. Democratic State Representative Mike Boland of East Moline says those cars are cleaner burning and would be a healthy improvement.
There is a escalating, almost epidemic, of asthma and other respiratory illnesses, not only in the state of Illinois, but throughout the United States. So this gives a chance to clean the air and help those folks who do have various breathing problems.
Boland also says that using fuel made in Illinois will help reduce the dependency on foreign oil and will help farmers. But the Illinois Municipal League says smaller local governments don't always have the accessibility of alternative fuels at local gas stations. I'm Krista Kukowski.
In Champaign and Urbana, the snow is slowly disappearing, but instead we're seeing more and more potholes on city streets. Champaign City's asphalt supervisor Arnie Morrison says his five-man crew has filled almost 600 potholes since January, but he says the season's just starting, and he hopes that residents call in to report any potholes they see.
Our main goal here is within 48 hours of the call to have someone out there and have it patched for them. And it helps us. Like I said, we have just a small crew to patch potholes, and we cannot cover all 250-plus miles of streets, you know, every week. So rather than wait until we get there, if the citizens would call us, it would really help us out.
Last year, Champaign had about 19,000 potholes. Each of them cost, on the average, $6.90 to fix. For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. For more than 100 years, there's been a means for recording music, but much of what was produced during the first years of the last century isn't readily available anymore. The motto of record label Archaeophone is "Songs You Thought Were Lost Forever." The idea recently struck gold for the Champaign couple who conceived of the label a few years ago. AM 580's Jeff Bossert visited with the founders of the Grammy-winning label.
After 36 releases, the process of transferring a wax cylinder recording to CD has become commonplace for Richard Martin.
What we have here is an Edison Standard 2-minute cylinder machine, and I've got a 2-minute celluloid indestructible on it from about 1909 or 10. And so we're going to hear what it sounds like. We'll recognize the song, but I'm going to have to adjust the speed probably.
Martin turns a crank on the 1906 Edison cylinder. And with a little adjustment, we hear Ada Jones, an early vaudeville performer who had a knack for picking up songs by ear.
By the light of the silvery moon, I want to spoon my honey, I'll spoon a tune. Honeymoon, keep a shining in tune.
Richard can also attach a small adapter to the cylinder phonograph, allowing him to send audio to his computer where some of the crackly sound is filtered out.
The one screw-up we had in the middle there was because the over time, since this is celluloid, it actually shrinks a little bit.
Archaeophone's office is where Richard Martin transfers the old recordings. It also happens to be Martin's home. He and his wife, Megan Hennessy, just moved to a larger home where they have room for their 400 cylinder recordings, 4,078 RPM records, and a number of vinyl LPs and 45s. Martin says they're filling a void with the label.
We had it. Nobody was putting it out. It was in danger of being lost. We're saving American history. That's basically the impulse behind Archaeophone.
The label puts an emphasis on acoustic performances and spoken word recordings found in the public domain, with extensive write-ups about each.
Mr. President and gentlemen of the Board of Directors and citizens, one-third of the population of the South is of the Negro race.
That's the voice of Booker T. Washington, believed to be speaking in Chicago in 1908. It's one of 54 recordings that makes up Lost Sounds, Blacks and the Birth of the Recording Industry, from 1891 to 1922. That collection recently brought new notoriety to what Richard and Megan started 9 years ago. It took the award for Best Historical Album at this year's Grammy Awards. Things started slowly, but since both had other jobs, Richard says they could afford that.
Nothing had to be a big success. It could just fill its little niche and that was fine. And so you have to be patient. You have to be willing to let that take its course. In our case, it took years.
Many of their initial discoveries were found on eBay, in junk stores, and antique malls. Megan says other times they've just been lucky.
A friend in St. Louis calls up and says, I found this thing. I don't know if you care about it. I think it's too rough. And he gives the title. We're like, it doesn't matter. Nobody's heard this in 100 years.
Business has picked up the last few years, so much so that Richard gave up teaching a couple years back so he could stay at home, answer the company phone, and plan new releases. Megan still has a day job. She's in website development at the University of Illinois and helps out on weekends. Over time, they've found collaborators to help find recordings and write liner notes on featured artists like Fanny Brice, Al Jolson, and African-American vaudeville pioneer Burt Williams. Megan says more people are seeking out such recordings as well.
We've heard from people whose fathers had seen Burt Williams way back when. And by way back when, I mean the man died in March of 1922, so it was way back when. But yeah, we've had people order CDs because their favorite record as a child was on it, and they ordered copies and had them sent to their siblings because this was the record that Grandpa used to play.
Other early African-American recordings have been more difficult to track down. George W. Johnson was a former slave and believed to be the first African-American to make a recording, most of them just before or after 1900. Martin says he became an essential part of the award-winning Lost Sounds collection.
He had, I think, 8 distinct pieces that he recorded. And the last new piece that he did had never turned up from 1904. I mean, it shouldn't be that rare. It showed up right before we finished the CD.
That piece was called Carving the Duck. Lost Sounds was originally a book, but strong sales prompted a CD to accompany it. The author, Tim Brooks, says his research exposed a wealth of information.
Most of the books seem to assume that Bessie Smith stood in front of a recording horn in 1920, and that was the birth of African-American music. But I kept finding all these other people, so I thought, well, maybe I'll see what I can find out about them, too, and the book kind of grew from there.
Former public radio audience researcher David Giovannoni helped Brooks with the CD's liner notes, and joined by Martin and Hennessy, the four accepted their Grammy in Los Angeles on February 11th. With 36 releases in 9 years, Megan Hennessy says she and her husband have set no limits on how long they plan to keep this up.
I think there's going to be stuff left unissued in our lifetimes. There's just so much to put out and so much to work with, and there'll still be records turning up for the first time.
This is another Lost Sound, performed by the Apollo Jubilee Quartet in 1912. Archaeophone's current release is The Great War, an American musical fantasy, which looks at the role recording artists played in promoting the military's effort in World War I. For more on these recordings and other releases from the Archaeophone label, visit their website at archaeophone.com. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
An interview with Tim Brooks, the author of the book Lost Sounds, can be found on our website, will.uiuc.edu/news. We have quieter weather this week than in the last couple of weeks, and a gradual warming trend as we go through the week. Our meteorologist Ed Kieser says it'll be still chilly for the next couple of days, though today, look for a mostly cloudy day in northern Indiana with scattered snow showers. In northern Illinois, a mix of clouds and sun and a few scattered flurries. Elsewhere, mostly sunny, and highs today ranging from 28 in northwest Illinois to 55 in the far south. For tonight, clouds in northern Indiana with a few scattered snow showers and flurries. Elsewhere, partly cloudy skies, and lows ranging from only 5 above in far northern Illinois to 28 in the far south. For tomorrow, in the north, mostly cloudy, some snow showers and flurries possible in the afternoon. Elsewhere, a mix of clouds and sun, and highs ranging from 24 in northeast Indiana to 52 in far southern Illinois. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, March 5th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.